Matt largely has done a fantastic job preparing for the retreat that happened this weekend, Friday through, I guess, this morning, technically. And so what we thought we would do is kind of have a little fireside chat, so to speak, or have me just interview Stephen and Matt about the retreat with the purpose of, number one, just giving a recap of, hey, what even happened, to stir you up by way of jealousy if you weren't able to be there, and to set an expectation for the women's retreat that is coming up in February of next year. Okay? So those are, I think, a couple reasons why I think this is beneficial. The first is just, so the general topic of the weekend, what was it, and how did you, why that topic, how did you even come up with that?
What I had been thinking was trying to begin looking at going back to our core values that we went over in the last couple years, loving God, reaching, building the church, and reaching the world. And my thought in bringing this up to the guys was taking the primarily the first two themes, with trying to come together and cultivate with some type of topic in that first category of loving God through the word and prayer, and taking that opens the door for so much. The topics are really limitless, I think. So we kind of had some chats about that, and you know, just try to say, hey, here's a big open field of what we would like to do. We kind of try to figure out who was going to speak, and Stephen ultimately volunteered to do that, and was I asked him to, and he was very gracious to do that, and which I think was great to have one of the pastors lead this first one for sure. And so what Stephen decided with, and what I think the Lord led him to talk on, was communion with God. And so that was a major theme, and also connected to the second core value, which is building the church. This was us coming together to cultivate our love for the Lord and to build our relationships of love for one another through Jesus Christ together. And then now we are back out in the world with the third one. So that was kind of the big idea.
So specifically, communion with God through the word and prayer, is that to say? So what, did you focus on any particular passages with regards to communion? I mean, there's a, like you said, that's a wide-ranging topic. Is there anything in particular that you focused on?
Yeah, so the three passages we used, two of them were in John 17 with the prayer of Jesus to the Father directly. We talked a lot about Trinitarian communion, of how particularly the Father and the Son have had eternal communion with one another. And based on that, some of the things, the amazing things that Jesus prays there about our unity in them because of their unity with one another. So one of the things we didn't want to do was just dump information. We love retreats, but retreats tend to be very informational heavy and to the point that you get exhausted just mentally. And we wanted to make sure there was white space and margins to give some information, but actually put these things into practice. I'll let Matt talk about how we put that into practice. But to answer your question, it was focused on two sections of John 17 and then the first several verses of 1 John 1 of our fellowship being with one another and with the Son. So it really had to do with communion with God and with one another based on and connected to our union with Christ.
Fantastic. Why don't we take just a little, because you mentioned the white space and not wanting a retreat to be overly informational. So maybe we do a little parenthesis and just say, what was the structure of the time? What, take us through the weekend.
Yeah, so this is great. And he brought his up too. Stephen went above and beyond and put together these binders. These were absolutely wonderful to have. I didn't even cross my mind to do this, and he put these together. And so basically, he put kind of a welcome in here, a table of contents, the schedule for Friday and Saturday, Sunday morning. So we kind of had an idea. You could look back at this and see what our time was going to look like. He laid out all the scripture passages with sections where he broke up the verses and gave plenty of room to write if you wanted to use this. So I use mine obviously pretty extensively. So what we did, and to get into that part, the idea was, you know, we had talked about this. Some people get to go to a lot of the conferences, and it's just a lot of teaching sessions and can kind of be overwhelming, and maybe you come away a little bit more tired than you feel refreshed. This was a retreat. We wanted this to be a time of refreshing in the Lord spiritually, but also just to relax. This place at Coldstream, I've never been to before. It was absolutely wonderful. We had a lake almost right out our back door, hiking trails out the back door. There was space. Guys were throwing frisbee. We tried to structure the time where we gave a different variety of things. So we had things like Friday night, we really just kind of came in. There was early check-in. Guys had about 4 hours to just do whatever they want, take a walk, orient yourself. The house was amazing. It had everything we could have needed, all the bedroom spaces. And we figured out the sleeping stuff a little bit better if we do this at that place next time. Then we had our meal together. We prepped that together. And then Saturday morning after we did breakfast, we gathered up and Stephen kind of laid out kind of the idea for a personal devotional time. And so taking 1 John 1:1-4, we sang some hymns, which I was really appreciative. So he put some hymns in the back. We sang together. We prayed together. We spent some time looking at the Acts. What do you call that? An acronym for prayer, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. I got it. And then we broke up and we had about an hour. Every guy just kind of went and found somewhere to be alone to take this passage and just read and meditate and pray. Then we came back together in some small groups. We had 15 guys. So we broke it up into 3 groups of 5. Stephen led a group. Ben Grady graciously volunteered to lead a group, and I led a group and just kind of talked more about what the Lord showed us in that passage. How was that time for you? How does this look in your daily life and your daily routine? Are you able to spend time with a quiet time or reading the scripture and praying? We talked a lot about prayer and just, you know, a lot of transparency about how that can really be a difficult part of our lives. We can read the scriptures, we can read other books, but are we really communing with God in fellowship like that? So we did that. We had 3 or 4 different big chunks of time just for open free swim. And guys, some guys literally did swim in the lake. I wish I would have brought my trunks. There were kayaks, canoes, swimming. I think we could fish next time. There were hiking trails. I think the zip line was down. We weren't able to do that. Guys threw frisbee, like I said. It was just really, there were people that took naps. And I was so thankful that some guys could just come and take that time to take a nap on the couch, read a book. Roger was back there reading heavy. It was just really a good time to do that. We came back together, had lunch. We did a session on communion with God Saturday afternoon, and that was very interactive. I was really appreciative of that. Stephen kind of involved the whole group, and had another break time, dinner, 2 campfire hangouts both nights. We had a couple testimonies given. Ben Grady and David Bookout shared how they came to the Lord last night at the campfire. Some guys left early. But yeah, that was basically the gist, and I got some good feedback. I think that was good just to kind of break it up. I don't think it didn't feel like to me that it was too overbearing in a structured time. I hope it was really relaxing for everybody, but also spiritually beneficial.
You have a follow-up commentary on that? Can you talk a little bit? He mentioned that your teaching times, or at least one of them, maybe both, I don't know, were interactive, that you were involving everyone. What did that look like? How did that happen?
So the last one is an example. We read through the last part of Jesus's prayer. Actually, no, we read all of John 17. I read it slowly, thoughtfully. And then I asked all the men, there were 15 of us, and just asked all the men to put their finger on one particular verse where the Lord drew their attention, spoke to them. And I said, now, you can't move your finger. You need to keep it right there. And you can only pick one verse. And guys were like, can I pick? No, just one verse. And then we went around the room, and every man read out loud that verse. And it's interesting how many of them were overlapping, because you've got 26 verses in that chapter, and probably there were 3 or 4 of them that really a number of the men kept landing on. So I asked them just to read it, and so we were just hearing kind of a cumulative, how is the Lord speaking to this particular group of men, and then went back around, it's like, would you like to share what it is that you saw in that passage? And even couple of the men who had the same passage who saw it at a certain different, or what stuck out to them was a little bit of a different angle. So that's what we did most of the time. And then one of the interactive sessions, I spent some time on that ACTS and just how the Lord has used that in my life. And then we actually did it, and we set a timer, and we did nothing. It's like, okay, for this season, nothing but adoration. And then we'd move on to confession and then Thanksgiving, just to kind of, and we wanted to just not learn about the spiritual disciplines, but practice the spiritual disciplines. And even when we went on our own personal devotion time, I called it silence and solitude. And a lot of this is linked together with Bonhoeffer's practice in life together. And what we were wanting is almost a kind of communal rhythms together, time alone with God together in solitude and silence. And it was like, even before the time is over, brothers were walking past one another on the porch. You know, you just nod, but this is silence. This is, we're kind of taking a vow of silence to be alone with the Lord. So those are some of the interactivity. So the interactivity had to do with the sessions, but also just throughout the weekend to focus our thoughts in that way.
Now, Stephen, and I think you mentioned as well the Acts. Did you want to talk more about what that looked like, or what shape that took? Either in that session or throughout the weekend, or
I think you know, like I said, we had a couple breakout, those smaller group sessions, and really talked about that more, and kind of the vibe I got and what I was feeling was that type of thing. To me, is always something that's like, that's too structured. I don't know if I can do that. But Stephen made some really good points and was very transparent about how that has helped him in his prayer life, and even just, you know, there was even talk about what is it to pray in adoration of God. I think it really, when you stop and think about the usefulness of a tool, it's a tool that helps you kind of use your brain, use your heart, think on the scriptures, to meditate about God. And I just want to say, you guys that were there, thank you so much. I think everybody there participated. I think everybody there prayed, and it was beautiful. It was so good. It was so uplifting to my soul just to be a part of that. And once we kind of figured it out with how to do that, you know, Stephen just kind of let us, we did about 5 minutes. So in this session, we spent like 5 minutes in each section, adoration. So guys just prayed in adoration for who God was. Then we went into a time of 5 minutes of confession, and there was confessing of, you know, sins and confessing of just how little we, you know, look to the Lord like this, those types of things. Then a time of Thanksgiving, 5 minutes of that, and then 5 minutes of supplication. And I think that was really helpful. And I think we may have used that a couple, maybe one or two more times as well. Yeah. So
was that the all in? Was that everyone together or in the smaller groups that you mentioned?
It was all in. And I don't know if our group didn't go back through that. We talked about that some, but I don't know. I don't know if Ben's group, if did you guys use Acts again? Okay. So his small group did. I know, I'm trying to process some of those things still.
Well, what did, so maybe give some insight. So you had these little small group breakouts, three of them, right? Three groups of five. What was the dynamic in that like? I mean, was it sharing, conversation? I mean, was it question asking? Was it a little bit of, was it a teaching time? Someone was teaching something? What was that like?
So our group, it was fantastic. We really just tried. I tried to just ask questions, taking what was said in those times a little deeper, and just giving up the opportunity for guys in that smaller group setting to talk more about what stood out to them in the session beforehand, and what stood out to you in that devotional time, what stood out in the passage, and then how are you doing with this in your life? How can we encourage one another? So that was a lot of the stuff that we talked about in our group.
Yeah, real similar, just working it in. What were the areas of struggles? What are the, and one thing that just kept coming up, one theme that kept coming up was the balance and interweaving with wanting good teaching, wanting good theology, wanting good information and Bible teaching. But whether it be through personality or personal sins or whatever, moving that into communion with God. That we can have all that information, and it can become an end of itself. So how do we balance not diminishing doctrine and teaching, but at the same time fostering communion with God? So there was a good bit of discussion with that, with our particular group. on that.
And just so if someone, if you had to give a couple sentence definition, what does it mean to be in communion with God? What does that mean?
Well,
let me read this article here.
Maybe I'm a good guinea pig to see if see what Steven exactly. said actually went in. So I think it was...
You're being judged.
I'm going to start shaking now. No, it was great. I think what Steven did was he really, Friday night, we kind of had a little orientation where we kind of went through the layout, and then Steven kind of opened up what the difference is between our union with Christ. That is a fundamental... When we are saved by the Lord, we are now in union with Jesus Christ. Supernaturally, he is now living in us. We are in him. That can never be taken away. That's a position that we have with him. And that leads to our communion with Jesus and the Lord through that union that we have. And so the communion, if I could sum it up really quickly in another sentence, maybe that was the first sentence, was what is that relationship and communication of us listening to God and us speaking back to God. He gave the illustration of how if you have a husband and wife, it is you're married, but that relationship builds and grows based off of the communion that you have with one another. And that's the same idea that we need to have with the Lord in our walk with him.
So you're saying more of an interaction and less of a status?
Yes.
Okay.
Putting feet to that union with Christ.
You want to fill that out?
I'm going to cheat by reading this. Christians are those who, because they are united to Christ, are able to enjoy communion with God. I didn't write this by the way. This is one of the articles I included. Whereas our union with Christ neither grows nor diminishes, our experience of communion can and does grow. So while our prayers or lack of prayers do not make us more or less united to Christ, they do make a real difference to our enjoyment of and fellowship with God. Union establishes the relationship. Communion is the mutual communication and experience that happens within that relationship. A negligent husband may still be united to his wife in marriage, but that does not mean their relationship is flourishing. Their legal union does not mean that life-giving communion is taking place. The benefits meant to be experienced out of that union are not fully enjoyed when such disregard is occurring. Husbands who neglect communication with, attentiveness to, and care of their wives do not only hurt their spouses, they hurt themselves as well. Believers who are careless in their communion with God are like spouses who ignore the one they claim to love. God invites us not only to be secure in our salvation, but to flourish in our relationship with him. We call this communion with God.
Very good.
His was better than mine.
So let me ask then. So how does communion with God, so maybe you saw glimpses of this, because like you said, there was a lot of downtime. How does communion with God affect communion with the people of God?
Great question. And that was so part of this. It's both. I think we have to have both. We have our relationship personally with the Lord, and we also have each other. I mean, he's given us the body. We're all different parts. We all have different parts to play. And so much scripture talks about our love for one another. I think there's some scripture, I didn't really prepare for this, but I believe the scriptures talk about if we say we have love for God, but we don't love one another, do we really have love for God? And it's crucial. I think what we experience with this, we have 15 guys from all over the church there in a house together. And that's just one experience. We have our community groups. When we're together more often, there can be rubbing, there can be misunderstandings, but there can also be the opportunity to grow and understand each other better in love for one or to encourage one another in our personal walks with the Lord. I just see them as they both are cyclical. They both go together, and you really can't have one without the other. So that was a great part of this, was being able to interact with one another together and be transparent with one another. I think that I felt like that happened this weekend. It was really good.
Maybe you can give some more examples or talk about examples maybe you saw at the retreat, or just how communion with God in the Christian life affects communion with other believers.
Yeah, so again, pulling on Bonhoeffer, Life Together, he writes his book Life Together in a seminary setting where it's mostly men, they're mostly single men, or men who are by themselves in the seminary setting. And it's almost monastic. It's almost this rhythmic, monastic time together with communion. But one of the things he focuses on, going back to the monastics, has to do with serving one another. And I think in this setting, it was a great opportunity for there to be dishwashers and trash taker outers and people who are men who are sweeping. And, you know, and you bump into one another, you get into one another's way. There's some quirkiness. Certain people do certain things and hang their towels certain ways that you don't prefer.
No names mentioned.
No names mentioned. those kind of things. And it's an opportunity to just display love and service and take the weaker, the stronger brother. So I think just in this even retreat kind of a setting, it's an opportunity for the friction even to be greater. And I can only speak for myself. I may have created friction for other people, but I didn't feel friction from other people, anything like that. So I think it's, then how do we work that in our homes through hospitality? How do we do that at church? So in answer to the question, a huge part of love is service, of being attentive, of being with a group of people and being attentive both relationally, and some of us are service people, and we need to move into conversations with people. Other of us are more conversational, and we need to move into service. But communion with God is not happening if there's not communion with the people of God through relationship and through service. And I think that's a big takeaway with Bonhoeffer.
Yeah, and if I could add to that, we were kind of had a little gathering talking about this. Yao was the one that kind of blew my mind, really. I was thinking, hey, let's just do this as simple as possible, hot dogs, you know, nothing. And Yao was like, no, there's a way to do this and have good food. And then Stephen brought up Bonhoeffer, Life Together. I'm like, phew. And just that serving together, people fixing meals, people cleaning up, that's such a huge part of this. And I was totally not even thinking in that way till Yao and Stephen brought that up. And then it just made me even more excited to go do this. And I think we experienced that.
And I think coming back to that, it's with the white spaces and even in answer to what communion with God is, it's delighting and enjoying God. Because even devotionals and devotional time and reading can become such a duty, but the intention is for enjoyment and delight in one another. And I think we experienced that. And there were, you know, campfires and there were games and there was swimming and there were these things, the enjoyment of God's creation, that we can get so cognitively oriented or so even busy that we don't give white space for actually resting. And particularly, I think it was great that most of us didn't have cell phone service out there. So if you thought we died, we didn't. Here we are, most of us. And the Wi-Fi didn't work at the house.
Hey, I felt bad. I wasn't supposed to be on my phone, but Tyler told me to take lots of pictures. So
if anybody no, that was awesome.
Me, that's what I was trying to do.
I was so glad.
Chris
was
Roth
so
was in a bunch of them. I don't think he liked it, but that's right.
He was a superstar this weekend. And I'll just pause to say, for those of you who either will watch this or you were here during the retreat this weekend, thank you for the many, many ways that you served and loved one another. And one of the awkward things, but this was one of the awesome things, was we showed up. And so it's supposed to sleep up to how many?
It said 14, but it could sleep up to 20.
Up to 20. Yeah. But what this means is two men sleeping in beds together. And so it's like, okay, go put your rucksack wherever, knowing somebody's going to come in after you and you're going to be sleeping together. So we had some enjoyable conversations.
That agape love.
Yeah. Back to back soldiering there. Yeah. So there were guys on floors. There were guys on couches. There were guys, you know, in double beds together. And again, we were sharing bathrooms. There were two showers in the entire house and a bunch of bathtubs. They need to fix that. So, but just, again, the service, and you know how funky guys can get? We had a bunch of non-funky guys. I mean, everybody was clean and the place
even
was clean.
With some of them swimming in the lake, it was still good.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot my trunks on the back deck. Oh, never mind. Okay, so. What's that? Oh, David.
David
out.
Boy.
Good man.
My man.
Oh, David Elkins.
Yeah,
okay.
Get that. Let me ask you, you are a good man, though. Let me ask you a question. So How do you look in, and so within Christian community, within the church, maybe at a retreat like this, how do you look in and tell the difference between somebody who's socially talented versus someone who is in communion with other people because of their communion with God?
Could you repeat the question? Is that...
Are you stalling for time?
No, well, yeah. Yeah.
So within Christian community, within maybe a retreat, the church, a community group, how do you tell the difference between someone who just has social talent, which is just a thing. I mean, some people are just really socially talented, versus someone who is in communion with God's people, flowing out of a communion with God himself. How do you kind of know the difference? Okay. I understand that's not an easy question.
Yeah, I think I get it the second time. Thank you. The transparency and the willingness to talk about their walk with the Lord and just being open and honest. I think that we experienced that. And that's one thing I'm appreciating more about this church and even just the guys in this church is that we've got a lot of different personalities. And I used to kind of fight that a little bit more, but trying to embrace that more. I'm definitely more outgoing. But I think trying to find that balance and I think it's the willingness to be open maybe and sharing and then being a good listener as well to other guys that maybe aren't as talkative, trying to listen more.
Yeah, especially I really like the vulnerability piece of that. Steven, you want to add on to that? What might you identify the difference? What might that look like?
I think it comes back again, and some of this has to do with personality and personality and maturity, but it's that transparency, it's that interest and hunger for God. That's like, even if a person's immature, they're still hungry. You know, they don't know what it is to eat a delicious meal, but they're hungry for it. And so that hunger, that willingness to be transparent, and the willingness to serve, the willingness to take up the basin and the towel, and to be like Christ. So a hunger for God himself, the knowledge of the word, a love for the brethren, willingness to forgive, and a desire to serve.
Good. Really good. I think that's fantastic. So you mentioned having a diversity of people in our church, but also there at the retreat. And what comes with that is a diversity of strengths, abilities, preferences. And one of the ways that's expressed is things like reading, just reading, period. And occasionally, and I think we've all encountered this either personally or with someone else, you know, someone just finds communion with God difficult through the scripture because they just don't, I mean, just reading itself, they just don't do it. They don't read books, they don't read. And so the idea of sitting down and communing with God through reading the scripture to them sounds like one of the last things that they would want to do. How do you talk with that person?
Well, I think that was part of the bigger idea was, you know, these are just hopefully, I mean, we don't want to live obviously from retreat to retreat with these type of things, but this being just another step in our path, in our daily walk, this retreat, just that was my thought was that would be an encouragement to guys to actually, if we struggle with that, to do that together to help encourage us to leave from there to then, you know, do that in your own life. And I think we set up some things. I mean, our small group, we talked about, hey, let's try to, I was in a group with some guys I don't get to talk to a whole lot. And, so we talked about, let's be intentional to like ask each other how that time's going from week to week. Also, Stephen handed out, we had a book giveaway. I think he's got his Maturity by Sinclair Ferguson. And so we had the talk. He had mentioned in this that the possibility of maybe us getting together at some point down the road and reading that together, meeting up and talking about it. And that there was some, you asked and I think everybody in there raised their hand. Like, so, hey, that's another way. Maybe we can help continue to encourage one another in our time with the Lord by continuing to have times like that even. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to say. I think that was really good.
Yeah, so this, and this comes down to the really part of the crux and the burden of my burden for the weekend is among Reformed churches, of which we are one, we have discovered and appreciated the place of truth and of deep Bible reading and of theology and the importance of accuracy and precision. And in no way do we want to undermine that in whatsoever way. But I think that at least in my own life, the tendency has been to then turn communion with God with getting more information and getting deeper information and getting more complex theology and that kind of thing. And I'm kind of hit the reset button on that in my own life, in that I've struggled with prayer my entire Christian life. I've been a Christian since December of 1990. Study has been enjoyable to me. Reading has been enjoyable, the intellection part of thinking, and confusing that with communion with God, necessarily, that the two are necessarily the same. And then when it came actual time to pray, then it was quick, it was short, I'm out of time, suddenly life. So I've made it a priority. I figure by this time that I've learned sufficient theology to commune with God. I hope. If not, I'm in big trouble. And so what I'm doing now is using the ACTS is blocking out a time and doing almost no reading. Not pulling out my Bible, not doing that, because I know enough about God and enough about my own sin. So enough about God, adoration, enough about my own sin, confession, the things that I need to be thankful for, thanksgiving, and enough to pray for, that I don't need new more information to do that. So for me to sit down now, and I actually wake up in the morning looking forward to being with God in an intentional way. And so the Word is coming, and the Word, God brings text to mind, so I'm not opposed to the Bible. I'm not without the Bible, the revealed Word of God, but I have enough to adore, confess, thank, and supplicate, and to do that verbally and to do that for a time, that's where my relationship with God, for me, is better measured than how much my Bible is open to me or how much books are open to me. That communion is my interactivity and relationship with God based on the Word and union with God and so on, where I can spend tons of time in books and not be communing with God. So for me, that's been a particular struggle, and this is a way that the Lord has really helped. Is that?
Yeah. Really, really good. I mean, I think so many words, what you're saying is, I mean, hey, even if someone's not a...
I meant to answer the question. Yes, go ahead.
Even if someone's not a theologian or a bookworm, I mean, everyone is in relationships. I mean, at least a couple, and everyone has conversations. And so when you, maybe if you just find reading the Bible difficult, you need to be intaking the Word, but maybe to focus on communion with God through prayer.
Yeah.
And then as it leads to the Word, something like that.
And so I'm sorry I didn't answer the question fully. So that being, then communion with God, I'm not bookish. I can't read whatever systematic theology. I can't sit down and read for hours. And okay, but what do you know enough about God? Do you know enough about your own sin? Do you know enough about this? Well, then move into that. And then what I find is, having done that, then coming to the Word, then I'm reading the Word communally. It's not intellectual at that point. It's now I'm learning to know about God, and it even prepares me and praying for the Holy Spirit to open my eyes. So then I can read a portion of Scripture, even if it's a small portion, and get much more out of it than if I'm just looking for some new thing.
Sure. Yeah, fantastic. You talked a little bit about one of the natures or one of the things that happens at a retreat is connecting with folks that you usually don't talk with a lot, don't see a lot. Talk about that a little bit and what that looked like.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I think after I got there Friday, me and Mike went for a walk around the lake, and it's such a relaxed atmosphere at a retreat like that. And like the space was just absolutely amazing. I can't speak well enough about that camp. If you ever need a space for something, that's the place to talk to. I think that just really led for a very relaxed, comfortable, home-like feeling environment for everybody to feel safe and able to talk and conversate. And laugh and have a good time. And it was very good. I think it seemed like guys came hungry and wanting that. I mean, because it was just right off the bat. I don't think we ever had any awkward moments that I saw. It was very, there was just conversations happening everywhere. I'm looking out on the porch and seeing two or three guys back there talking, or three or four guys just went around the way over there on a trail and, you know, trying to, I was even out in the kayak trying to row to the shore. I had the wrong kind of paddle and they were making fun of me, but talking to some of them. So it was great. It was really good. And does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. You want to talk about your experience?
Y'all go on. There's some of the men who were here for the conference. I'd love to take the mic out and see if you have any questions for them or highlights that they might have.
Let's do that.
Go roam a little bit.
Roam.
You guys keep talking.
Roam. Well, then that was the one next thing I was going to ask, but why he's looking for a suspect. What kind of your highlight of your primary takeaway, not your primary takeaway, but just your highlight of the weekend?
Man, every part of it had its place. And I just felt like my heart was full. Like the whole thing overall, just thinking about this for a while now and just seeing everybody, enjoying their time, spending time with the Lord, spending time with one another, digging in, just singing with those guys, man, that was so good. That was so good to sing together. Stacy came Saturday and was able to play piano for us and added a good element to our voices. And just every part of it, I think, just to me, it just the whole thing kind of summed up, just left me with a very full heart.
So it doesn't sound like for you there's one particular highlight, just kind of how the whole thing came together. The whole as a result of the parts. Okay, fair.
Yeah, everybody seemed to enjoy their time, and that made me happy.
Okay, great. Is it Roger?
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Can you hear me? Sure. I think one thing that really stood out to me is when we did read a scripture. It was from John 17. And then we took about an hour and a half of just, we said we wouldn't talk to each other. We would go out, do our own thing, and just use that time focusing on the scripture and however else we wanted. And for me personally, reading the scripture and doing the Acts application with the prayer, that time, without any distraction, without any time limit, without talking to anybody else, it really helped me focus on prayer and on God and everything like that. And, you know, just the sheer atmosphere of the place was really helpful because, like everybody said, there's no cell phones, no traffic, nothing like that. And even though we had a lot of moments of fellowship with each other, there were a lot of moments of purposeful silence too, which we all agreed to, you know, using it our own way and stuff. So a lot of that was really helpful. And we talked a whole lot about having a personal relationship with God, with Jesus. And that was a really big thing throughout the whole thing. And it to me, it was really inspiring and it really helped a lot.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing.
I think I have two highlights from the weekend. One was getting to really get to know Stacy Jeannie, because I really had not talked to him very much. And so that's one of the benefits of that retreat environment is, you know, this can be a large room sometimes, and we just don't have enough time to be able to talk to each other, at each and every one of us in a deep way. And so getting to meet him and talk to him, and it was beautiful because I just didn't know anything about him, basically. And so to start to form that relationship, and he was just so transparent. I got to be with him. He was in our small group, so he was very transparent, very participatory. That was a great experience. And then the other one was swimming across the lake with Gary Pickens. He was giving me tips on swimming.
I got a picture, y'all, but y'all were like little dots all the way across the lake.
Y'all swam across the lake? Is that like a long way?
I don't know exactly how. Yeah, it felt like a lot longer after I did it than it did when I was looking at it.
You swim back?
Yeah. So I swam to the dock, and then Gary was bugging me the whole way while I was going. And then I was like, well, why don't you jump in and swim back with me? And he did.
Okay. Awesome. Is Gary here? Or is he? Is he... Oh, okay. I was going to ask him about the big swim. While Stephen's going to finding somebody else, Matt, what would you say to somebody who says, this just isn't my thing? For whatever, I could see it maybe being a number of reasons that someone might not even want to say. Maybe I'm too introverted, or I just don't want to be around. It's kind of overwhelming. Or I don't want to be away from. How would you talk about
that? Yeah, I would say, Lord willing, if we're able to do this again, come experience it and see how you feel after that. I mean, I think we had some guys that are quieter, and I think it was really good. I mean, it's not like too many people, and it, like I said, the space was wide open out there, and the house was big. If you needed to get away to have some alone time, there was plenty of space to do that. So it was very relaxed, and I hope nobody felt pressured. I don't think if that wasn't your forte, I think everybody had space to do that. So yeah.
Right.
I would actually echo that. I think one of the best things about the weekend was the restful nature of the environment. You know, being able to lay aside all of our worries and responsibilities and just talk with you guys. Getting to know you better. Talking about the Lord. Focusing on prayer. It's extremely restful. It's very, very nice.
Oh, there, yeah, where is he? Gary. Wait, yo. Oh, at the, we're, yes, right here, Josh.
A couple things stick out to me. One was just the sweet fellowship that we had as men together. There was no conflicts, no fights, it was just a sweet time of fellowship, conversation, recreation. That's wonderful. Just the love that we have for one another and we can express in a setting like that is really refreshing. The other thing, the theme itself was very helpful to me. Something I've been thinking a lot more about is God as Father instead of, God as creator or things like that. But that aspect that God is Father and desires to have that kind of relationship with me, that of a father and a son. And so spending time thinking about not what it means to be in union with Christ. I mean, we thought, of course, about that, but to think more about what it means to commune with him was really encouraging and helpful to me.
Awesome. I did want to ask, it's been mentioned a couple times, just Matt, can you briefly talk about the food? What was it? What did y'all eat?
Sorry, we had probably a little bit extra, but that's okay. This is the first time we've done this in a while, I think. It was, but we brought it to the church meal. So everybody eats salad today. There's going to be some. Yeah, so we ended up, I found a little place up in Springfield that a nice, sweet couple that he smokes meat. So we got pulled pork and some fixins and had some salad for Friday night for supper. So everybody's kind of getting there. We could just throw that in the oven, heat it up. It wasn't too much prep. Breakfast we did Saturday morning. We had plenty of coffee going 24/7. We had, eggs, sausage links, bagels, fruit, those types of things. For lunch, we just kind of had a big, huge smorgasbord of sandwich meat, sandwiches. We had like sliced salami and cheeses, and which some of y'all can experience later. If I hadn't already said that in the fellowship meal later, please stay. So we had just stuff like that for lunch, just kind of kept it simple. We had a free time before lunch, and then everybody came and ate, and then there was more free time after that. So, hey, come grab something to eat and then go do back whatever. And then supper Saturday night, we did spaghetti with Italian meatballs and bread and more salad, and everybody was great. Chris helped prep that, and just if people didn't cook, they helped clean and just enjoyed the time. So, and then we had plenty of snack stuff.
Great, sounds tasty.
Yes,
in the back, Gary. Highlight of the weekend, and then commentary on the Great Lake swim.
the Great Lake Swim. The Great Lake Swim was by Ben, I think. He swam the whole length and back. Incredible. It was a great retreat, you know, just refreshing, and most importantly, spiritually refreshing. Probably the most significant thing for me was just being with a group of guys, everyone focused on the Lord, interested in seeking God, just made it a sweet time. It was great.
Good. We've got 7 minutes left.
Also, thanks, Stacy, Jenny. I kind of thought late, Stacy has a farm. I was like, hey, if you got any fresh produce, bring it with you. So he brought some nice heirloom tomatoes and fresh salad greens, and I think that's kind of why we ended up with some of the bag lettuce and stuff, because that was just way tastier. So thank him for that. It was great.
What about a last kind of highlight commentary, Hunter?
Yes. It's been spoken about quite a bit by most of us. I think it was a common theme, but just really that day of rest. You know, there's a great importance that's missed sometimes, especially in our busy lives. So just being able to have that in nature and God's creation was refreshing. It was healing, but it was really amazing to see that growth and that healing amongst a group of people together. Diverse people from every angle. And again, if you had any doubts or maybe you were a little intimidated about going, there was no, it seemed like I could just be me, you know. Being able to, you know, remove my shirt, I have tattoos and some of my other brothers, you know, but then you have guys who don't have any, and it was a good conversation starter, things like that. Just being able to get to know each other, be yourself around these people, and to really see how God uses so many different things and so many different people in unique ways. So, again, thank you.
Amen. Yeah. Stephen, I'll let you share your highlight, and then we'll try to wrap up.
Yeah, and just while he's coming back up here real quick, I think another thought was, and this was kind of asked earlier, if you don't feel like this might be your thing, at least for me, this is very hard for me to get away to do something like this because of work and family and young kids. We need this kind of thing. I need this kind of thing. I don't think I've really had time for myself to do something like this, and probably our almost 10 years of marriage, it was just very needful to sacrifice that time. And thank you for all the wives that allowed your husbands to come be a part of this, because I think it was refreshing to be able to spend time away but with all these other guys.
I'm not going to give a highlight. I'm going to give, again, thanks for the men who participated. You were part of that. I hope those of you who are not able to go, this would awaken in you a holy enticement to be a part of that next time. But I want to give special expression of thanks to our brother Matt, who did so much behind the scenes. And he had things last minute that were pulled his way. Yao had a good friend from college whose wife passed away, had been struggling with cancer and passed away. And Yao and Matt were really taking care of the lion's share of the behind-the-scenes stuff, and suddenly, Yao was out, and Matt just did a fantastic job picking up that slack, getting the food, and really for the lion's share of the thing. So can we give the Lord thanks and him through that? And on that, we have a little gift for you. And I'm going to go ahead and spoil what the gift is.
Is it a coffee mug? I love coffee mugs.
No, I'm just kidding. No. So anyway.
No, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
It is your own very own. There's a card in here, too, so don't throw it away. It's your very own copy of John Owen's Communion with God. So I thought it would be appropriate. With Ashley's help, we snuck it behind your back and got you that. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Can we spend a few minutes just praying? Yeah, or
I want to ask one more question. Oh, yeah. Is that okay? Sure. How does when you look, when you think back on this weekend and this retreat and hopefully making this an annual thing, how does this fit? What does this do for the life of our church? What role does it play? We can look back on this weekend as the time when what? The
for RBC.
So I think it comes back to down to relationships, that what ultimately binds us together is our communion with God and communion with one another, that we can hold the same doctrine, we can hold the same confession, and we've just seen over time that that's not the same thing as communion with one another. So it's our hope that through this will spread, that this level of intimacy, transparency, this is informal discipleship. We're doing some things that are more formal and intentional. This is intentional as well. This is intentional opportunities to really foster community together. And so it's through the bond of Christ and service and love for one another. We want others to get involved. We want to take this back to our families. And I hope that as a result of this weekend, I don't come back as a grumpy jerk. Why are you grinning so big, so largely? Because that's a temptation, right? We've tasted heaven this weekend. I go back and now I've got to deal with my wife and my kids and all that. But I hope I can be a better man coming back. And the next time a retreat comes up, Kimberly will be like, yes, I remember how spiritual you were when you came back. Please go again. And that's what we want, to bring that to our community groups, to for those men who weren't able to do there. Okay, how do we do that in our home? How do we do that in our community groups? And then having this intense practice of taking it back with us, having communion with the Lord. And then when we meet together as men or as bring this, and all we are doing this weekend is cultivating in a more intense way, like in a greenhouse, what ought to be the ordinary Christian life. We don't want this to be something so extraordinary that it can't be practiced in real life. We want this to be kind of a hothouse, a greenhouse for accelerated growth, and we take these practices back with us just to our ordinary Christian lives.
Excellent. You said would you like... Ray, I'm going to give you this microphone.
Well, why don't you
go? Okay. Lord Jesus, I'm thankful for the opportunity for men in our church to be able to spend a restful time together worshiping, communing with God and one another. Lord. We're thankful for the retreat center who was able to facilitate this. We're thankful for the people who attended and experienced the life-giving times of prayer and fellowship and rest. We're particularly thankful for the hands that came together to make this happen, for Matt, for Yao especially, and for Stephen for teaching, Lord, for the hands that prepared food. We pray, as Stephen mentioned, that it would be a boon to the souls of the men leaving that retreat, and as they go back into the, for lack of a better word, real life or real world, as we might be tempted to call it, that they could take that with them, that it wouldn't be something left behind and back to reality. That can be reality, Lord. We pray that that people would be intentional through the work of your Spirit and grace to take the restful aspects and the worshipful aspects and the community aspects from this weekend, and that would flow out into the lives of their community groups and their families. And so when people look at our church, they can see a taste of this weekend. So we pray that the seed that has been sown in various ways and the encouragements and have been given this weekend continue, and that they bear much fruit for your glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we break up, just one more expression of gratitude to our brother Tyler, who as ministry coordinator did a tremendous amount to get men's ministry and is doing a lot for men's and women's ministry within our church. He wasn't able to attend this weekend, make sure he could be ready and prepare for things at home with the arrival of a new one. But certainly a huge component of how this even happened was Tyler's encouragement.
Yes,
so I
absolutely
want to thank you as well.
I second that.